Greetings, brethren. What a wondrous and amazing thing it is for us to be able to gather on the Sabbath and enjoy the fellowship of one another from around the world. The technologies and the capabilities that we have in this time is beyond imagination. When I was a child, I couldn't even imagine something called a cell phone, or the internet, or being connected with somebody around the world all at once. It truly is amazing. But these are also troubling times. These are times that are rapidly changing, and they are changing for the worse. The COVID virus, the Wuhan virus itself, is a major catalyst in all of this. But it is not just that. We can see that the people of this world not only desire to control people, the governments want to control the populations, but we can also see that in the heart of man himself, there is a hatred, there is a lust for destruction, like no other time in the history of this nation and many nations around the world. And I wonder how many of us have thought about what this means for us. Because I believe that there is soon coming a time when Sabbath and Sabbath keeping and Bibles and Bible reading will no longer be tolerated. I think there is a time coming soon in all of our lives where we may be at risk because we worship God, because we proclaim His name, and because we obey Him. In fact, I think there is a time coming very soon where all of the things that we have taken for granted with the amazing technology out there will no longer be available to us. This is a time when I think we will be alone. Now, we're never alone with God, but what I mean is that the internet will not be available. We will not be able to gather with other brethren on the Sabbath or the holy days. We may not be able to have ministers to our house. We may not have the broadcast of sermons available to us. So let me ask a question. Can you be alone with God while facing the raging enemies of Satan's world? This world and his deceived people, the wicked people, will condemn us, they will torment us, they'll threaten our loved ones even, and try everything to coerce us into denying God. Are we prepared for this possibility? Are we prepared to stand alone on this earth with no one but God to rely upon in the face of such a threat and such evil? Jesus Christ said, "You do not know, you do not know in what hour your Lord is coming." So we don't know if this is the time, the tribulation or not. But when we look at world events, they are obviously leading to a wickedness and a government or governments that want to control the world in an evil way. And I don't think that we can ignore the possibility that this is the beginnings of the tribulation. Moreover, think about it. In 10 short years will be the 2000th anniversary of the crucifixion of our Lord. Now, it may not be that the tribulation spoken of in Revelation will occur in the next 10 years. However, it could be our tribulation. What I mean is that it doesn't matter if tribulation comes upon us and we are martyred, we are killed, we are imprisoned, and it's not the tribulation. It is still our tribulation that we must endure. So it doesn't matter if we die in a tribulation, and the tribulation is still yet to come, because what we endure will be a test of our commitment, our obedience, our willingness to suffer in obedience to God, just as Jesus Christ suffered. Jesus Christ also said, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves so that that day doesn't come upon you and you are unaware of it. Come upon you suddenly. Watch means to guard yourselves. This is not talking about watching world events. Jesus Christ said to watch ourselves, our own personal spiritual lives and relationship with God. That is primary. That is primary. That is the most important thing that we can be doing. Now, as the end does draw near, we must be focused on that relationship more than ever, our relationship with God and seeking His kingdom and God's righteousness. Peter, I think of most of the apostles, wrote from this perspective, wrote from a perspective of the troubling times that are coming. And he said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, the end of all things has drawn near. Be watchful in prayers. The end of all things has drawn near. Peter saw this as not something in the future, but something at that moment was already happening. So from the perspective of his generation and our generation, it doesn't matter if it is the tribulation, the end of all things is near. Nearer for us than Peter, but still near for both. So we should not be sleeping. We should not be drunk and considering the pleasures of this world. We need to be watching and praying. We need to be prepared because we do not want to be surprised when the tribulation or our tribulation comes upon us. Now, one of the things that is interesting about Peter was his sermon on Pentecost. At the end of his sermon, after they had been just overwhelmingly inspired and uplifted by the Spirit that came upon them, the people that he was speaking to said they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. That is full conviction of their state, of their sins, of their weaknesses, of the realization that they must do something. And the first thing that they asked was, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, a person that is first cut to the heart by God with their calling, that is a reasonable question to ask. What shall I do? But for those who have already been baptized and given the Holy Spirit and have been dedicated to God for years and decades, that is the last question that we should be asking. When the tribulation or our tribulation comes upon us, we do not want to ask, what shall we do? Because it will be too late. We need to prepare ourselves now. Interestingly, the parable of the 10 virgins has been mentioned a number of times over the decades, generally talking about the numbers. The parable of the 10 virgins has nothing to do with the numbers, because the main message of the 10 virgins is that 5 of them were foolish because they did not rely upon God for their spiritual salvation and growth. In other words, they relied on others. other people, a spouse or other brethren or ministers. The reason this is obvious is the foolish virgins went to the wise virgins and asked them to give of their Holy Spirit, of their oil, because their lamps were going out. Now that is an impossibility for any one of us to give another the Holy Spirit that is within them. But that's what they were doing. They were relying upon others for their personal relationship with God. That is the warning of the ten virgins. We need to have a deep personal relationship with God through Bible study and prayer. Those five virgins, their minds were not on God, His kingdom, and His word. All right, so what can we expect in this time? Let's imagine that it is the tribulation soon to be upon us. What can we expect? Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 9 tells us exactly what the saints of God can expect. It says, "They shall deliver you up to affliction." That is anguish. That is a burden. That is persecution. That is tribulation. That is trouble. "And shall kill you." Kill you. I don't know how more plain that can be made. The threat to the saints of God during the tribulation will be death. "And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake." That is a hate that is an uncontrollable urge to persecute and to destroy. Verse 13 says, "But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved." The world will hate us. It will be an uncontrollable hate. They no longer think of law or justice or peace. It is a world filled with pure, unadulterated hate, because Satan right now is overcome with rage toward God and toward the saints, his children, and he wants to destroy all of us. And he is stirring up the whole earth, all of the wicked, to do that job. We, brethren, must be able to stand firm against that that is coming in the tribulation. We must be able to not only stand firm against it, but we must be also ready and able to proclaim the name of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and the gospel message. Psalm 74. Turn over to Psalm 74, please. So while God will give us the power and the words and the means to stand against that evil, it is still a time that we must be prepared to face. And in Psalm 74, I want you to hear what is coming upon coming upon the saints, the children of God. Psalm 74, verse 2. "Remember your congregation." This is God's family. God's family, "which you, God, have purchased of old, the rod of your inheritance, which you have redeemed by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This Mount Zion in which you have dwelt, lift up your feet unto the perpetual ruins." Ruins. All of this destruction the enemy has done in the sanctuary. Does this sound like, for instance, the abomination of desolation? They will be out there to destroy the sanctuaries, the tabernacles, the places where we go to worship, They will want to destroy our homes. They will want to destroy everything about us to prevent us from worshiping God. Verse 4, your enemies roar in the midst of the congregation. This is among the saints. In the midst of the saints, our enemies will roar. They set up their own banners for signs. How many banners have we seen from these thugs and terrorists claiming that black lives only matter? Verse 7, they burned your sanctuary to the ground. They burned God's sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the dwelling place of God's name. They said in their hearts, together let us rage against them. That is the saints. They have burned up all God's meeting places in the land. We did not see our signs, the signs telling us when these things would happen and where these things would happen. There is no longer a prophet to tell us, but neither is there among us any who knows how long. How long is this going to last? How long are we going to have to endure this? Oh God, how long shall the adversary speak evil and the enemy blaspheme your name? This, brethren, is what we are facing, the reality of what we are facing right now, right now. So how do we prepare? Turn over to Ephesians 6, please. How do we prepare to stand against such evil? How do we prepare to be able to proclaim the name of God and Jesus Christ and His gospel and a warning to the nations before those that are our enemies that want to destroy us and kill us and torture us? How do we prepare for that? Ephesians 6, verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God. What is the armor of God? It's truth. It's righteousness. It's the peace from God. It's the gospel of the good news of His kingdom. It is God's salvation for those who love and obey Him. And it is the Holy Spirit in us. That is the armor of God. And we must have these things in our hearts and minds through prayer, through Bible study, through our relationship with each other while we can. So take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having worked out all these things, worked out all the armor of God within us by the power of God, by His mercy, by His power through the Holy Spirit, having worked out all these things to stand against the evil, that evil day which is the tribulation. We are not to kneel before any man, as these terrorists seem to think. We kneel only before God and Jesus Christ. Now skip down to verse 18, because here is the key to preparing. Pray at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and in this very thing, being watchful with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. If we do not have that time in prayer, that time in supplications, which are pleadings from the heart, to God, pleadings like Jesus Christ had when He was in the garden praying to endure the crucifixion. That kind of prayer to God is how we prepare. And we pray for ourselves and for all the saints. Because every one of God's children faces the same threat, the same evil, the same wickedness that will be a part of the tribulation. We must rely upon God for our very lives, and through prayer we draw close to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. This is speaking of those end times. And it's a promise from God. Now, it's a promise from God in a general sense, but it is also a promise for all of the things that we must endure. Chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them, those of the Old Testament, as examples, and were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages are coming. That is us, brethren. That is us. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, because no temptation has come upon you except what is common to mankind. Now, that is not true of the tribulation. That will be uncommon. However, here is the promise. God, who is faithful, will not permit you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. He will make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Now, escape is not necessarily physical. You may not be let out of a prison. You may not be let out of chains. You may not be let out of the place of execution. But it is a spiritual escape wherein God gives you the heart and mind and peace of His Spirit to endure it. And that's the key. It says, so that you may be able to bear it. It doesn't say He's taking you out of it. It says you may be able to bear it. There's another promise. There's another promise that we need to look to. Isaiah says that God will dwell with the one who is of a contrite and humble spirit. And He does it to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite people. The word dwell does not mean a weekend or a week vacation. It means to permanently reside. It is a permanent situation. It is a forever condition. He will dwell with those who are humble and contrite. And He will revive us. Turn over to Psalm 46, please. Several of the Psalms are promises to the saints that God will sustain them through the tribulation. But many of those also describe what is going on, and it does so in terms of seeking God's help. David sought God in every trouble he had. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. Do we believe this? Do we believe that we can go to God in our minds through prayer and He will grant us refuge and strength? He is a very present help in times of trouble. Very present means right there, not far off, not, oh, I need an hour to get to you. Very present help, right now, right there, instantaneous. Therefore, we will not fear. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And though the earth should change, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with the swelling of it, does this sound like the day of the Lord? There is a river whose streams make the city of God rejoice, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. What will we see after our resurrection when we assemble before God on His throne? God is in the midst of her. Her, who's her? Her is the bride of Christ, standing before Him as He sits on His throne. She shall not be moved. The nations raged. The kingdoms were shaken. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the promise. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Do we believe this? Are we able to rely upon this? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. These are the promises of God in that day. We must be prepared so that God is our refuge. We turn to him in those times immediately, instantly, being instant in prayer, and he will be a very present aid. He will instantaneously respond as we need it. Do we have the unwavering faith of Jesus Christ? Do we truly believe that God is our rock and his salvation? Hebrews 13 says, God has said, in no way will I ever leave you. That is not even a possible thought in the Greek. In no way will I ever leave you. No, I will never forsake you. So let us boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. Because what can man do to me? If God is my refuge, they're fighting God. Even the demons and Satan tremble with fear before God. So what can man do? In the end, brethren, we must be prepared to stand against this evil, because there is a reward coming for all the suffering, all the misery, all the pain that we will endure if we are able to stand. And in many cases, we will stand alone with but God by our side. If we are able to stand in those times, proclaiming the name of our God Most High as we face our enemies, and if we are faithful in obedience even unto death, Jesus said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom. The righteous will shine forth as the sun. Turn to Psalm 145, please. What greater eternal reward is there for a short spell of suffering, a short time, than shining forth forever in righteousness like the sun? Psalm 145, verse 10. This talks about what the saints will do after their resurrection, when they are among the people of the millennium, as they are kings and priests and teachers. One of the things that they will do, let's read it, verse 10. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you, O God. The saints shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men God's mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. If we stand in that day, we will have stories to tell of God's incredible help, the things that he has done to help us through the most terrible times on this earth. And we will rejoice and we will glorify God for all that he does for the sons of men. And if we stand in that day, if we are prepared, if we are seeking God, and if God is our refuge and our strength, then we will not be asking when it is too late, what shall I do? Because in the midst of all the clamor and noise of the wicked, there might be a voice, a still small voice that we hear brought to us by an angel of God who says to us quietly with assurance, "You are beloved of God. Do not fear the things that are about to happen to you. Peace and strength from God be to you." And we will stand and we will accept whatever God's will is for our lives in that day, in that evil day. And we will proclaim God's name. We will be witnesses of His faithfulness, His mercy, and His love to us. Brethren, let us rejoice as we see the day of our salvation drawing near. As Paul said, the momentary lightness of our tribulation is working out an immeasurably greater and everlasting fullness of glory and joy.